solo anchor, this is Anna Garrett.
Like, oh, I made it now, blah, 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 you know.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Hopefully funny enough to hear another episode.
I don't actually know what I'm saying.
Marketing, entertainment, tech, you know, all the fun stuff.
Hello, you. This is Anna Garrett, your host, and welcome to my podcast. Today, I'm here joined by, I'm not going to say any adjectives because she doesn't want to, or she's getting too cocky about it. It's Daniela Miranda, the guest that comes here more often and that I end up always saying, I really love Daniela, so she has to stay here. Daniela, how you are? How are you? when you low key don't want to make it a big deal, but you still love her. So
you are. I'm good, thank you. I feel like more of a co-host than a guest sometimes.
Yes, it's true. It's true. That's what I say. Okay, if it's fine by you, I'll introduce you as a co-host every time from now on. It's signed.
Actually, someone at work the other day asked me something about my podcast. And I was just like, I do not have a podcast. I am a guest in one, kind of.
Yeah.
So it was funny.
What did they ask you?
I think it wasn't a question. It was something that we were discussing, brand related. Someone said, oh, you should talk about this in your podcast. And I was super impressed because, first of all, I don't tell anyone from work about this.
Yeah.
I think the only way anyone would know would be, for example, having me on Instagram or Facebook, which I barely have anyone from work. So I'm not sure exactly how this happened. Plus, they would have to not only see that I posted it, but also listen to it.
Yeah.
To understand what it's about. So, yeah.
And actually pick up on like a specific topic, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're not always talking about marketing. Mostly we're just talking about nothing.
Why do people even listen to this anyway?
I'm not sure now.
Yeah. Just let us chat like we usually do.
Yeah. This is just a regular call.
We always start with like a regular, what's up? Any news from life, blah, blah, and then we're like, okay, we need to do the podcast now. Let's move on. But okay. Basically, it's just a regular talk. But what we will talk about today is in terms of data. So last time we spoke about social media, but we mainly talked about it as consumers and in just a very like light approach in terms of social media. But today we want to talk about data, more than just social media, data in all digital platforms that we are using, and digital and not digital, I guess. We should start by, you know, what the hottest topic in the last days in terms of digital and in terms of data has been the scandal with Cambridge Analytica and Mark Zuckerberg and the new, you know, videos that have been going around with his beautiful response at the Senate in the US. Daniela, I believe you saw it live. Did you see all of it? Or
I did. It's pretty long. I obviously didn't listen to the whole thing, but it was always playing on the background of my very exciting life. I think we're very aligned on what this episode is actually going to be called, which doesn't always happen, but I'm pretty sure there's no other.
What do you mean? Is it going to be called #delete Facebook or?
No, Mr. Senator, we run ads.
Oh, we run ads. Yeah.
I think it has to be.
We run a podcast here. We don't run ads.
No, but I think it was definitely the highlight of
it
this
was.
Session. Like the next day at work, I mean, no, scratch that. The next week, the entire week at work,
whenever
people started using Mr. Senator, we run ads for everything. Didn't have an answer for something, you would just say, we run ads. True.
How does your company can open a bank account without anything else? Senator, we run ads, right?
We don't run ads. We use ads.
Yeah, but we don't run ads.
We get MasterCard keys. We don't need that.
Mm-hmm. What was your whole impression of the thing of the, like if you saw it
Yeah.
live and you saw most of it, what did you think?
So I'm not an expert in data in general and data protection,
And neither of
but
us are, and we're
yes.
not too informed. Obviously, we know about this and we care about it, but we're not like some people who are too worried about the legal things and privacy because, you know, like I usually say, you're expecting like very different opinions in this podcast, but it's not what happens. Me and Daniela, we end up agreeing with most of it. But yeah, just
Lot
that
of discussion.
reminder for everyone that we're not experts here. But go on, Daniela.
Yeah. So obviously not an expert. Obviously there's not much I can really question of it, but overall I think most people who are young and maybe have worked in tech, I think that probably works. That probably is related. I would say we would all agree that it was disappointing that no matter how little you know about what happened, you would have better questions. It was very rare that a question would impress me the slightest bit. I feel like Mark Zuckerberg was really trying to be prepared for something that didn't happen. I
Yeah,
doubt.
I guess he was expecting like this big, like very hard questions and like, oh my God, I have to tell all about this and how am I going to answer? And then he basically he didn't like
He
even
didn't
try
do
to defend
anything.
himself. He just basically explained his business, which is something that most of us understand, right?
Yeah, regardless of if it was very staged or not, his answers, what happened in my opinion is that before the session, before the what's the name? What's the right name for what he did?
He
He
testified
testified.
before Congress.
Yeah. I don't know. Going back, before the his testimonial, I was not as much on his side, if we can call it that, if we can call it a side, as I am now. So I feel
Really?
like after seeing it, I support Mark Zuckerberg and I support Facebook even more than I did before. Before, I kind of just assumed they had a hand on it. Were controlling things that they shouldn't be controlling. I mean, et cetera. I'm not informed enough, but I did assume that they probably fucked something up. And now, after seeing it, one thing that really surprised me was when he mentioned all of the elections that were happening this year. Did you see that part?
I'm not sure. What kind of elections?
Political elections. So
Okay.
I don't remember what the question was. It
Okay.
was probably something along the lines of, what are you doing to prevent this from happening in the future? And
Okay.
Mark Zuckerberg was clearly pissed. Like he couldn't even hide it. He was absolutely angry of the thought of this happening again, of data being taken from Facebook and used for something that it shouldn't. And you could see that in the way he was speaking, in how he looked, and especially in the fact that he knew absolutely every election that's happening this year. He just spit it all out, all the countries that are having elections this year, which just comes to prove that Facebook is doing something to make sure this doesn't happen again. That was
Or at
really
least that they're
impressive.
prepared and aware it's an issue, at
Yeah,
least.
he really, it really seemed like he's putting all the effort possible into making sure he can control this, which was really comforting to hear, I think, and surprising even. I thought he would just not assume anything. He was super direct in saying, we realize this happened, we're sure it happened, we're sure we didn't have anything to do with it, and we're going to make sure it doesn't happen again without to the point where we can control it.
I get what you're saying. I think he did right by assuming that he fucked up. I just, well, the questions weren't like pressuring him enough to, but I guess what hasn't been clear is exactly what they will do differently to prevent this. I've seen, I like I've read, I know they posted something on like Facebook News or something in terms of how they plan to change privacy. So for example, like events, you can no longer, like, companies can no longer see who's going at an event. For example, you remember that feature when people searched a phone number and you could find their profile?
Mm-hmm.
That thing is going away as well, but...
Can you still connect your phone number to your profile?
I think you can still do that. The thing is, you can't search through that, yeah. I think.
But I think what makes me not understand what they might be doing to improve this is that maybe I'm not informed enough, maybe I didn't try, to understand how was data actually taken from Facebook, right? So I know,
yeah,
I kind
basically
of
basically how is data being used by third parties? I guess that's the biggest question on everyone's mind.
What
and
data?
That is not clear at all so far.
What data? How did they get access to it? And I know my question might sound kind of dumb to anyone who's informed enough to know. I probably sound like that senator who asked how many categories? Was it categories? Not sure. How many categories of data? I think she actually started with how many data or how much data, probably how many data do you have on your users? And he was just like, Mrs. Senator, I don't get your question. I'm sorry. And she would repeat, how many categories of data do you have on your users? And
what she probably wanted to ask is, like, for example, relationship status, age.
Yeah, right? But how do you, like, that's the whole problem with data, is that you can't really quantify it.
Right.
It
well,
really
but they
funny.
Still do, because unless it's quantified and unless it's categorized, they can't really sell that to advertisers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it's,
so it is categorized.
Yeah, but how does he answer that question? He doesn't know. It's probably ever-changing.
He's a CEO. Like, most of, like, very specific questions, I guess he doesn't really know how to answer anyway.
And if you're looking at data categories, you can always create new data categories with the data you have from your users.
True.
She had no idea what she was asking is the conclusion. But yeah, overall, I think questions were disappointing. No one there was informed enough to ask these questions. Probably Mark Zuckerberg was disappointed, to be honest. I think it gave a really bad impression to anyone who's not really into the subject, because anyone who fits that profile and saw it probably thought, oh, I don't understand.
Yeah. Or everything is fine. Everything is fine. Yeah. Like, he answered all the questions okay. These questions are dumb anyway, so everything should be fine, I guess, right?
Or either, why did they do this? We got nothing from this.
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially if you don't trust that he will not lie under oath. But that's a whole other question.
Yeah.
I spoke to some people around me about that. And actually, quite a lot of people still would just say, why do they put him under oath? Does anyone really believe that he'll say the truth because of that?
It's really impressive.
I think Americans take that really seriously.
Yeah, they do.
Like, if you lie under oath, there's not much you can do if someone finds out. So they might try to hide things, but he wouldn't lie, I think. He doesn't really want to risk it like that. I don't know. Ever since we did that episode, I don't know, but I failed miserably.
Go check the episode. Link in bio.
What's the name of that episode? I think it's literally... It's a series of expressions, I think.
No, I think that's the cover, like the cover, the thumbnail picture. I don't think that's the name. Or maybe it's like random things we say, or I don't know. We don't even know our own episodes.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. But at least in my opinion, although, like we said, this, we're not, me and Daniela, we're not too worried about what companies want to do with our data. But I'm obviously worried about other people, and I'm worried that what people want and what people want in terms of privacy and data security is not being respected. And I guess that's the main concern. And the biggest question, which we still don't have answer to, and like no one I mean, people comment on this and there's a lot of theories. It's like the YouTube algorithm and stuff, but no one really knows how Facebook lets third-party apps, programs, yeah, websites, whatever, use our data, right? And I think
hopefully
like,
it doesn't, right?
Hmm?
Hopefully it doesn't. All we know about
well, it
that
does.
Is what
like,
we see
for
on the
example,
Facebook.
it depends. Like, if you, I'm talking about apps that you give access to. So, for example, you remember like those stupid quizzes that are like they require you to log in on Facebook so you can do the quiz, or so it gives you like a special result based on your posts or your friends or whatever, that kind of app.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be considered like 30 party apps. So
yeah,
the question is
so limited.
Is,
do you really care about that data?
I mean, in a small like vision, you wouldn't care because those apps seem to be doing something harmless. Imagine what else is happening on the background. They could be creating this fake cool quiz thing, random
yeah,
thing that you, but they could be
they
selling your
are
information
they
to somebody
are
else, right?
They probably are, but if you care about that, to me, the blame is on you as the user, because
true,
we've
true.
Talked about this, and I'll say it again. If you accept terms and conditions that very clearly state that your data will be used, first of all,
mm-hmm,
obvious, we don't even have to comment on that. And then what can actually a company do with data such as your name, what
mm-hmm
else? Maybe a list of your friends, a couple
besides
of pages
besides selling,
you like.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
what
we saw
they
that
do?
They can do more than just sell.
If you think someone will influence you to vote some
it's
way.
It's still your fault, right? It's
that
still
way,
your fault.
You're pretty much to blame, I would say so. You're very
true,
influenceable.
True. But we have to, I think we need to start. I agree with you, and most like probably I think the blame is on us at the end of the day. But the question is, ethically, don't companies, especially a company as big as Facebook, have a responsibility for the community, have a responsibility for its users to
sure
try to make it better, right?
But as far as we know, Facebook never gave away any of this data for harmless, for harmful purposes. So if Facebook gives your name and whatever else to this platform that makes quizzes, I mean, I'm sure they had a very extensive proposal from this platform saying what they're going to use the data for. If they lie to them, I mean, it's not on Facebook, right? So Facebook should Facebook stop allowing everyone from using your data? I don't think so. If you're really worried about that, then stop using these services, I would
so
say.
Is it your opinion that Facebook shouldn't track how third party apps are using Facebook users' information?
No.
You think it's on the people?
No, I think it's not on the people to complain about something that they're using, terms and conditions that they accepted. But as far as Facebook can control something, in my opinion, they should. I know some people think they shouldn't because Facebook already has too much power. I don't really agree to that. And I also really liked Mark Zuckerberg's answers on that. Whenever someone would ask, does Facebook have too much power? He would say, have you looked at China? And that was pretty spot on. I don't feel like Facebook has too much power. What is too much power? I think there are other companies that we should probably be worrying about.
And now
about
that you're talking about too much power, some questions have been, is Facebook a monopoly? What would you say to that?
No. And
yeah, I don't think so either, but I was just wondering what your opinion was.
I think Facebook's cool, but it's so unstable. Like, it's not...
Any social media platform is unstable, right?
Yeah. Like, we're all sure that Facebook won't last forever. A monopoly, to me, would be, for example, a type of... a brand, a company that fabricates a type of food that everyone gets. Like, it's not something that you can dispose as easily as social media. It's it's a trend. It's a very big trend. It's a very big trend that has access to some of your data, only the data that you choose to share.
The question is, can you really be on social media and not be under Facebook's control, because they own WhatsApp, they own Instagram. What else? Yeah, well, I mean, you can use Twitter, I guess.
If you want to be on Facebook, you're under Facebook's control. Like, if you want to have a frequent client card at your favorite supermarket, you're under their control. Mm-hmm. Like, welcome to the 21st century. But I think you know what data you're sharing. It's not like they're listening to you, in my honest opinion.
Or are they? Are they?
Which also goes back to the Reply All episode we were discussing, podcast. They did this episode on, I think the name was literally, is Facebook listening to you or something like, no, is Facebook spying on you, something like that. And the episode was on some people thought Facebook was listening to their spoken conversations through the microphone on their phone, which to me is just hilarious. And I've discussed this with so many people because it's such a relevant topic that so many people still defend. And
most people believe that they are listening? Is that what the feedback that you've been receiving?
I wouldn't say most, but yeah.
But a surprising amount.
That they can. Yeah, a surprising amount. And my opinion on that is very dramatic, right? You know, I've told you about it, and I really don't believe Facebook could listen to my conversations through my microphone. First of all, because I work with data. I work in a bank. I know how difficult it is to have access to data. I know how audited we are. So that kind of makes me not trust something as dramatic as they're listening to your conversations in order to sell you stuff. Then second part would be listening to your conversations would be really, really tough and processing them. Would they go through all of that just so that they make sure?
I mean, they would need to have like this biggest infrastructure that has AI and machine learning to actually track everything.
Yeah.
Because they can't even have like normal people auditing social media profiles, everyone, much less investigating what are people saying so they can give you like targeted ads. It's just stupid because what I was gonna say is if they did have found out about how to do this, they would sell it, right? Because that's what everyone's trying to track. Everyone's trying to do, like a machine learning thing that can see what people are talking about. We can't even get like an accurate app that will write whatever we are saying correctly.
Exactly.
So I think it's just crazy.
If they were doing ads that were so great to the point where they know exactly what you're talking about, and because you mentioned this movie or whatever, you get an ad for it, and you never search for anything, it was just talking to your friend and they listen to you, this type of ads would be so freaking expensive. Don't try me. Don't tell me that Facebook is going to do this type of ads for the same cost they were doing.
They would be selling this whole infrastructure and idea to something else before ads. You know, ads just seem so ads, you know? There's so much they could be with this that
Think that because you mentioned Infinity War to a friend, you get an Infinity War ad, let me tell you, no one has that type of budget. No one. That's impossible.
And then who's paying for that ad?
Who is?
It's insane.
Then the third thing I would point out is we're both Portuguese. We both speak Portuguese very frequently, and we both know what it's
immune. We're immune to this stuff. it's still not for us yet.
To me, speaking to a machine that recognizes what I'm saying, like something like Siri or something like that, is the same as speaking to someone.
It's an accomplishment already.
true, absolutely. But it's very comparable to speaking to someone who speaks Portuguese as a second language and not to 100%. So for example, speaking to someone who's Spanish and can understand Portuguese, but if you start speaking faster and more naturally, I would say they probably don't get it. So let's imagine that you take this Spanish friend of yours who understands Portuguese only if you speak it slowly and grammatically correctly, which you never do. let's take that friend of yours who already naturally doesn't get much of what you're saying, and then stick that friend in your pocket, which is usually where you have your phone. Does anyone really think he can understand anything? Because this is the situation for your phone. This machine that I have in my pocket or my purse can never get anything of what I'm saying. Yeah. Like right now, maybe.
You can even
right
get what you're saying directly. When you're speaking directly to it. Exactly. So much less alone when it's wherever.
Exactly. I think it's crazy. If anyone thinks their phone is spying on them through the microphone, I mean, how slowly do you speak, really? Does Siri get what you're saying? Just test it. Just test it. Just talk to Siri how he would talk to a friend and see what she gets. Because, I mean, we don't have that kind of technology. Sure,
but,
if we
but do, what if do we what do we it, say what do we say when we have like Alexas and Google Homes and such who do seem to be listening every time, because you just say Alexa and suddenly she's listening to you. What
she's
do you think?
But she's not processing.
So you think it only starts recording what you're saying when it notices you say Alexa? It can't read anything else? You think that's how it works? I don't know how it works. No one knows.
It doesn't process it. That we just, someone would have discovered that already, I'm sure. And I'm sure that data, if it's being processed, it's not being used for anything. And I've used not Alexa, but Google Home quite a bit. And it is a pain.
Hashtag honest reviews.
It is a pain. I love Google Home. I really do. I think it's great. It's so entertaining to play the games that it has. But it has a very limited understanding of my questions. The expression I use the most with Google Home is, hey Google, set volume to 60%. Hey Google, set volume to 80%. Hey Google. This is all I say. All I say. Then I say stop and play, and that is all. It's really just a very smart music column. But yeah, I'm sure that if Facebook has access to data that can understand what you're saying, I'm sorry, not to data, if Facebook has access to a system that's intelligent enough to process and understand what you're saying, I'm sure that system is a lot more advanced than whatever we have on Siri or on Alexa or Google Home, which are very cheap systems that are very accessible. I'm sure Facebook would have something better, but still, I don't think we have that kind of technology available. It would be really nice to have it. I would love to just speak to my computer instead of type. It would be great sometimes, but like having, I do a lot of interviews, having them all typed out for me, yes, please, but it's not happening.
Take my money.
Yeah, maybe my company doesn't have the budget for that. No, I'm joking. There, it's, as far as my knowledge goes, it's not on the market.
What about, you know, I don't know if you noticed this. I think you have, because my phone is the same as yours. Hey, but when you, you know, when you leave the camera app open and suddenly you like, you switch back to the app and it shows like a picture of you.
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, so for example, imagine you were taking photos or whatever camera app, and you switch to another app. And when you, when you're going through the apps, you see like a preview of the app, and the preview shows like a picture of you. And it's basically just like a random picture, like the camera is looking at you in the face.
In that just, moment?
Yes.
That's
because the photos, the photos are super like stupid. You know that face when you take a photo and you didn't notice you take a photo, that's basically one of the photos it shows, and it looks like you just right now.
That's not really a photo, right? That's just the app in a smaller version, is what you mean? Just like when you open the app, you see yourself.
But what I mean is, even though you're not on the app, you're not on the app. The app is open, but you're not on the app.
If it's open, you're on the app. You're just not looking at it. That's how the phone works.
I know, but isn't it weird?
No.
You don't think it's weird?
No, if you had multiple screens, you'd be looking at all apps at the same time. You're just looking at a preview of what the app would look like.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Sorry.
Because that's not how it, I mean, if you put it, if you put it in a computer, all right, then I get it. But with apps, I just think if the app is not showing up, then it's not running, you know? but
No, that doesn't
your
make any sense
argument,
anyway.
your argument
You're
makes sense to
educated.
me.
Good.
Okay, so the last thing I guess that we should talk about today, this is something that Microsoft is passionate about, your company apparently it's passionate about as well. It's GDPR, which
Knew
is
it.
like this,
Knew that was coming.
huh?
I knew that was coming.
It's like a new EU regulation in terms of data protection and privacy that is coming up on May 25th, and it's in the European Union. So for people who are listening from the US, you probably have never heard about this, so stay tuned. But basically, this was approved in 2016, and now they've let like some time so companies can comply to the new rules. So this is not like something that they give like a recommendation and then like each government in each country can decide its own laws. It's not. It's just something that it will become legal and everyone will have to obey to this or else they will pay very heavy fines. Yeah, heavy fines, that's what I mean. In terms of data protection, the main things that they're worried about is your name, your photo, email address, social media posts, blah, blah, blah. And the biggest change in this is basically how companies will be able to use this data and what kind of rights and ownership do you have for that data. So one of like very specific examples that I saw was, for example, usually companies would be able to sell and buy email lists, right? This was like a very hot thing. I guess it's not that hot anymore, but still. This
What?
is something
What do you mean?
like, for example,
And
you
clearly outdated because I thought this was not legal.
it wasn't, I think it's still legal, like buying
I
email
tried
lists,
to do that a while ago and I
no?
was very much put down. So, sorry. I've worked a lot in this either I'm very misinformed or this is not true because usually what you do when you want to send out an email campaign to another partner that has access to a database of emails, what do you do? Is not ask, not by their database. What you say is you make the email yourself and you say, please send it, and they send it for you exactly because you cannot have access to the emails. You pay for it, you just don't look at the email addresses. They send it. Maybe I'm too legal.
Well, you are working in a very legal company, and I am too,
But
so
I
we're not the biggest
before,
examples.
I think before I was working for a bit of a more relaxed startup and still. I dealt a lot with email there, and this is what I've always done, that you cannot look. And if in Germany you were to tell a company, hey, we're looking to buy your database of emails, they would absolutely report you to authorities. They would do it. Like if you pressured them just a little bit to negotiate like that, they would lose all respect for you, and
Never want to
it's
do
just not
business with you
possible
again.
here. No, absolutely not, never. They would I've had people, so I've suggested email campaigns to potential partners in which we obviously wouldn't buy the emails. We would produce the email with them and they would send it out to their respective database. And I've been misinterpreted and I've got an email saying we would never sell our data or things like that. Yeah, very aggressive.
Talk about
Yeah,
a
read my
collaboration.
email. Yeah, I hate it that people don't read my emails and then answer. I hate it. I had a coworker today saying we were talking about this project I'm working on, and he said, "You should send us that whenever something like that happens." I was like, "So sis, I sent that in a report like a week ago.
Like, really? You want that? Should I
Please
paste
read
it
my
to you again?
emails."
I'll forward it to you again.
Yeah. Drives me nuts. I know people are busy, but still does. Sorry about that.
I think the worst is not people ignoring your emails, but when people read your email anyway, but they understand it all wrong or didn't read it properly, I think that's even worse, you know? One thing is people ignoring you, and the other thing is people like they just read what you said and they have no clue what you just said anyway.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
Okay, but basically, the biggest impact that this is going to have. So, I have like a list of the main things that this GDPR rule set influences your work. It's basically breach notification. So for example, let's look at the Cambridge Analytica example. What happened was, apparently, this is what I read, Facebook knew about it 2 years ago, but they only made it public to everyone, to all the users who has been breached and who hasn't now. Mm-hmm. You know? And this is something that now with GDPR, it's absolutely a no. So if a company is aware that a data breach has happened, then you have 72 hours to notify customers, controllers, everyone, which is like 72 hours is very little. Like to imagine like a company like Facebook, they can just tell, oh, hey, we fucked up. It's not like that. Like you probably have to involve like PR, legal, tech, everyone to come up with a statement, right? It's not a simple mm-hmm. thing, and we know about this. The other thing is right to access. And this is something that, like, for companies, I think this is gonna incur in a lot of like extra costs. So basically what it says is, you as a consumer, you're like an owner of your data, and basically you can access, you can ask any company to know what data they have from you. And what's even more surprising to me is, even as an employee, so for example, you, Daniela Miranda, you could ask your company to get like a whole record of performance reviews, payroll records, disciplinary records, CCTV, phone calls, all of that. Can you believe this, Daniela?
No, not really, actually.
But this is a thing, and apparently this is something that is already like legal in the UK. You just have to pay for it. So you have to pay something to make sure companies get it back to you.
Doesn't it kind of look like it could be easily breached? Like you could easily ask for someone else's data?
Why?
I will bring context again. I work for a bank. If I'm to tell a client, you can ask us for everything we have on you, I think they're scared that someone else will do it for them. Because so far...
Oh, you mean like people would be scared that someone else would pretend to be them and get that data, right?
Yeah. How do you get that data is my question. What's the process?
What's the process? Yeah, I see what you mean. I have no idea. But that's an interesting question. Like, what kind of information do they need from you to get that? Mm-hmm. I guess the obvious answer would be like passport or whatever it is that... Yeah. That people use, but still,
so
I don't know.
You're telling me that all companies will have this document identification process to be able to give someone their data.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's impossible.
It's pretty crazy. I mean,
it
says like I can tell you like their employer will have 30 days to collate a cache of all information stored about that person. They have 30 days to get all of this. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's just crazy. Not going to work out. And so let's go back. Let's go back into context.
Uh-huh.
I work for a bank. And as a bank, you have to do KYC with all customers. You have to do know your customer with all customers, meaning you have to do person-on-person identification, meaning looking at the person's face and at their document. Of identification or a passport. And because I work for a mobile bank, we have to do this outside of a branch. So we have to do this through the phone. And usually when you open a normal bank account at a traditional bank, you don't notice KYC happening because it's just they ask for your document, you give it, they're looking at you at the same time. You don't really notice that that's a necessity there. And they just take your data and it's perfectly fine. When you do it through a mobile phone or through a computer, there's a lot of guidelines that we have to be able to match. Before, at N26, we were doing it through video. Now in some countries, some markets, we're doing it through photo verification. So you just take a selfie and a picture of your passport or ID. Still.
Yeah.
After so much time of doing this through video and through photo and adding more nationalities and adding more documents that we accept, there's still a lot of countries.
Like a lot of ways to.
No. There's still a lot of documents that we cannot process in any way.
Such as?
We're currently doing this with a partner, this identification. And for example, up until now, no, wait, I have a better example. Up until like 2 months ago, we weren't able to identify Portuguese ID. We weren't able to identify Italian IDs. Now we're able to identify those because of the photo verification, but we're still not able to identify Indian and Pakistani IDs or passports. So you're telling me that although we're trying our absolute hardest to be able to identify all documents because this is a foundation of our product, every company will have to have a
Would be
system
able
in
to do
place.
that easily. I see what you mean.
We
I
will
guess
just,
you,
yeah,
but the thing
it's.
is, you're talking about that digitally.
Oh,
I mean,
so
because I
does
don't know,
someone
I'm
have to
not
go
sure,
to your
but I'm
headquarters?
guessing you could do it like with an actual person verifying the documents, I guess. I'm not sure. Necessarily say it has to be digital, right?
If I ask Facebook for my dinner,
But you would have like a headquarters, right? That's what you mean for some
exactly. Do I
company
have to go to an
like
office? Yeah,
Facebook.
do I have to go to Facebook's office for them to give me my data? No, I don't. I get it on my profile. We've seen that. So, I mean, with Facebook, maybe you're not that worried that someone will log into your profile and see all your data. You'll probably be worried they send someone a message or anything. With a bank, it's pretty big worry. I don't know. I'm looking forward to see how that works.
Yeah, me too, me too. The next thing is the right to be forgotten, which in terms of Facebook is very, I mean, I have no idea how it, apparently Facebook is going to comply and it should comply with all these rules with EU people, and that's going to be pretty crazy for them. I don't know, but I guess they're on top of that. They know what they're doing. But basically, you have the right to like delete data on Facebook. So I'm not sure how, for example, I said Facebook, but it could be any company, but I'm not really sure how this is gonna play out, honestly, because you
I'm
know.
sure that Facebook will comply because Facebook is under the public eye on this. So they have all the pressure to comply.
I'm pretty sure they will. I'm just thinking, will they? I think, and I've read this, the question is whether they will try to apply this in other countries as well. Will they take GDPR as like a standard of security for the
I think
rest of the markets that they are in?
I think they're going to have similar guidelines that they'll have to focus, they'll have to follow in other countries. So it's likely that they make this standardized. I'm not sure if anything would overlap so that they have to do it differently, but
We'll see.
I don't know.
Talking about
Looking
right to be
forward.
forgotten and data, Daniela, were you surprised by the things that Facebook had on you? So, for those of you who don't know, basically there's a feature on Facebook in which you can download any data from Facebook, so like messages, photos, I don't know what else. I'm gonna say
If
you
you can answer it, I
weren't.
think. I didn't look into it enough.
Oh, okay.
I probably should have. What I saw, no, not surprising. It was because it's weird. The data that Facebook has on you is pretty much the data that you gave Facebook. Like, did you see anything on the data that you downloaded that you
That was
thought,
like
how do
shady.
they have access
No.
to it?
Yeah. I agree
No, I
with you.
didn't. Maybe I should look further into it, but I'm
Well,
really not worried
I
enough.
didn't look too much. I was mainly like looking through the photos because that's what was the most interesting for me. And although like I wasn't surprised about what was there, like photos, messages, whatever, but it's still scary. You know, when you look back and you're like, oh my God, my whole life is here. It makes you like look back, but still I wasn't surprised. Same as you, I wasn't surprised.
I think it was fun.
You think it's fun? What?
Yeah, I think it was fun to look at it. I'm sorry if this is not the answer that all of our listeners wanted. All 10 of
We're
our
talking about
listeners.
data and all, you know, protecting ourselves. Yeah, I think it's fun that they have all
It's
my data.
fun.
I think
I
it's
wish they
cool because
had more.
I can look back.
I'm just waiting for all that data to represent discounts on things and not just ads. Like, if I talked, that's another interesting point. if I'm around talking about Infinity War, just gonna keep with that example. I don't need an ad on it. I'm already talking about it. What I need is a discount on a ticket to make me change my
And get
mind.
that to me, please.
Yeah.
That's what
So, I
Danielle is
don't
waiting
know.
for. You
Booked
gotta
my
catch up.
tickets already.
Are you going? This whole episode isn't an ad, an express
This
ad
isn't an ad for Infinity War, although you've been talking to all of your friends about Infinity War. Curious how we know that. I actually saw this comment. I know this is off topic, but I saw this comment today about the movie that just said, just finished watching it. And my conclusion is there is a reason why most movies don't have turdy main characters. Hilarious.
But you haven't watched it yet, right? You
No, I
haven't.
haven't. I'm gonna watch it on Monday.
Ah, cool. I'm really excited to go see it as well, but I haven't bought the tickets. But I will go. Big Marvel fan. The trailer looked insane, but yeah, let's just shut up about Marvel for a minute.
Yeah, okay, done.
Should we wrap up the episode?
I
I
don't
guess we
know. Should we?
can.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been 1 hour already. You said you had to go. This is the whole thing. And guys, thank you so much for listening. As you saw, like, we don't have the definite answers for data and security. No
We're
one
sorry if you were expecting
else
something else.
does. I think to me, the biggest question should be, are people aware of this? Because I think that's the first step. The first step is knowing this. Whether you have the right answers or not on how to proceed, that's the second step, which is good for people to start thinking about. But there are so many people who are still not aware of any of this. So I think we're already doing a favor by doing an episode on this, you know? Because I'm pretty sure some of the people who will listen to this probably will have their eyes open one way or the other. At least I hope so. I hope that we. For those of you listening, that we shared some value.
If I could conclude with like main takeaway from this,
Yeah.
it would definitely be please, please read the terms and conditions on everything that
Yeah.
you're giving your data to. Like you're signing up for a new website, go through the terms and conditions. They're not that scary, they're not that long,
Yep.
and it makes you learn a lot about what they can actually do or not, so
Yeah.
that you have an actual informed opinion when something like this happens.
Yeah, definitely agree with Daniela. Like, we make this big thing out of terms and conditions, but honestly, terms and conditions has changed so much since the internet started, and they're very like user-friendly nowadays. If you actually look like a terms and conditions of a company like Instagram or stuff, they are a lot easier than we make them to be. So that's definitely good advice, Daniela.
Thank you.
Like you said in the last episode, you said couldn't have said it better myself. Couldn't have
Yeah.
said it better myself. So that would be my quote on that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Thank
just
you.
make sure that whatever, just keep in mind that whatever you're doing online, it is being tracked. Whatever you write, whatever you click into, whatever you upload, keep in mind that that is being tracked. I guess for some of you, that might sound like super obvious. But we have noticed that for some people it isn't. So I
Yeah.
guess that would be my recommendation as well. And yeah, that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening to it. And we're probably gonna do another episode on this later on when we know anything else, when there's another scandal, because there will be another data scandal. But keep in touch, stay in touch. Daniela, do you want to share your social media so our guests can stalk us freely
No.
and not
Okay.
in a GDPR compliance way?
Yes. So if anyone wants to stalk me on social media, I think LinkedIn is always a good channel. And you can find me on LinkedIn by going on Anna's profile and going through the similar profiles. My name is Daniela. And if you go on,
Hi,
hi,
Daniela.
nice to meet you, Anna. If you go on Instagram, my username there is Daniela TPR, in which Daniela has only one L, contrary to popular opinion. The other day, I had a bunch of visitors at my office, and they all have to write my name when they come in and the time that they're coming in at, and not a single soul got my name right. So now I feel like I'm changing my bio on every website, everything to just it's Daniela with one L. Yes, I'm sure. Because
It's
it's
your
been asked
branding.
every
It's
day.
Daniela with one L.
Yeah. Have I told you that once I was asked, are you sure that your name is spelled with only one L? And I had to answer, yes.
It's
When I
ridiculous.
was
That kind of
asking,
question is ridiculous. Are you sure?
no one gets it right, which
Well,
is interesting because my name exists in the exact same way. Both my first name and my last name exist
exactly.
in Spain, Portugal, and Italy in the exact same way. And my first name also exists in Germany, where I live, with only one L. So
Yeah.
I would say it's pretty common.
Babe, it's the same way here. Like no one gets Anna right. It you'd think a name that only has three letters and it's literally the same backwards is still Anna, that people would get it right. But no, people write Anna with the two N's all the time. It pisses me off. Like if you want to send me a message, if you're sending something and putting two N's, I'm already upset. I'm not gonna read. So
So Instagram at Daniela TPR.
with one L.
Yes. I hope there's not one Daniela TPR with two L's. That would be too much of a coincidence.
That would, yeah. Okay, so for me, the best way would be Twitter and Instagram at Anna RL Guerra. So that would be Anna, my first name, and then RL from Raquel Lopes or real life, whatever you want to call it. And then Guerra, my surname, which means war in Portuguese. That's a curious thing for you. But
I
yeah,
see.
I see. But yeah, guys, this was it. And I guess I'll see you on the next episode. Bye bye.
Everyone.